Good morning. Brother Russ said when I came in that he expected me to preach for about 50 minutes, but I can go ahead and almost guarantee y'all that won't happen this morning. I don't come with anything new this morning. I don't come with anything special. I'm not special, not any more so than anybody else that tries to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. We are wonderfully made in His eyes and in His image, but I'm special because of Him, not because of anything that I've done or tried to do. And we love your pastor. Y'all got something special going on here with your youth, and you should be honored that. But I love your pastor. I come to know him when he was up at Ebenezer. I never would have went up that way if I hadn't met my wife. Her family goes up to Ebenezer a couple of times a year and became acquainted with him. And he's one of the most humble men of God I believe I've ever encountered. So y'all are blessed here. But if you've got your Bibles and want to read with us this morning, I'm going to be reading some out of the 26th chapter of the book of Acts. And then I'm going to read one verse after that out of the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis. And we came here to visit about a month or so ago, and Brother Russell asked if we would come on the fifth Sunday of the youth service. And we tried to pray and didn't know exactly which way the Lord would lead us. And the other day He gave us a little thought, and but I began to pray. I said, "Lord, You give me a thought, and I don't know what scripture to go with." And but He sends all of that in His time, and He sent a little scripture yesterday to me that I've heard preached on several times before, but I've never preached on it myself. And so I desire your prayers this morning. In the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, this is Paul with his encounter with King Agrippa. And I think I'm going to start down in the 8th verse. He says, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave them my voice against them." And I'm going to skip on down a little ways to 13. "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me of them that which journeyed with me." And this is Paul's given his account of his run-in with Jesus. He's given his testimony here. And he says, "And when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks?' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things of which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but shewed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and through all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles that should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me, Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and the great, saying none of these other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should shew light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And after hearing all this, and I'm going to skip down just a little ways, down to 27, and King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? This is Paul asking him. He said, I know that thou believest. And then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to flip over to Genesis 37. And I'm sorry that I'm skipping around. Sometimes I feel like the Lord might just give you a couple verses. Sometimes he gives you a lot. But in the 37th chapter, in the 26th verse, this is when Joseph's brothers took him to do bad and do wrong to him and harm to him because they were jealous of him. And in the 26th verse it said, and Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? And the thought that the Lord gave me in the last several days is, and a lot of our churches nowadays are not ours, or maybe other ones, and are preaching God and preaching heaven and preaching that God helps us, and they're preaching that Jesus saves us from our sins. But I think sometimes we're different places, different ones that are trying to take out the blood. And because we live in a world and a place nowadays that everybody gets so offended by everything. We get offended what people say. We get offended by what people do. We get offended by what people wear. But we get offended or we're afraid we're going to offend somebody if we share our testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for us in our lives. Afraid that we'll turn somebody away, that they won't want to talk to us anymore or be our friend anymore. So I guess the little thought that the Lord gave us this morning is the gospel. While King Agrippa, he said that thou believest, but he said, I'm almost persuaded. We get to thinking that if we're going to have it, the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have to have it all. It's all or nothing. We can't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ if we don't mention the blood. We can't just preach the miracles that he did while here on earth. We can't just preach the virgin birth. We can't just preach that he rose on the third day. But we've got to preach about the blood. And I know you already sung on some of those songs. And Brother Russ mentioned in his prayer how precious his blood is. The power in his redeeming blood. That's something that we can't get on this side. We can't do anything on this side that can redeem us of our sins. Only the perfect blood of the perfect Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ our Lord, is the only thing that can turn our black hearts, our black sins, white as snow. And it doesn't make sense. We can talk about things all the time, and people will try to find logical reasons for stuff, and it just doesn't make sense to talk about red blood turning something white. But his precious blood is all we have. We've got to preach on that, because if we don't preach on the blood, how will people know how they can be forgiven and find their way into heaven? You know, when I came across that verse in Genesis, and Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it that we slay our brother and conceal his blood? What does it profit us if we preach just a little bit out of the book, but we forget the blood? What does it profit us, church, if we go out and we tell people we're Christians, we go to this church or that church, but if we don't share our testimony with them, as Paul did with King Agrippa, He told every detail of his encounter with Christ. But he knew that Christ had to suffer. And just all the apostles preached. As I know you've heard your pastor and other preachers preach, you've got to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are all sinners and come short of the glory of God. But it's not popular anymore to preach about blood. It's not popular to think about what they did to our Savior at Calvary. But I want you to think about those 3 days leading up when he had the Last Supper with his disciples. And then they took him by night and they whipped him and they beat him. They scourged him. And then they put him on the cross and put the nails through his hands. And they put him up there. And they thought they were doing something. They were trying to get rid of what they considered a troublemaker, because he challenged the Jewish people of the status quo that they were used to living with. I want you to think about most of the people we encounter in this life. They've got a certain status quo. They're used to life being a certain way, that there's certain outcomes. If you do this, this will happen. They didn't want to deal with Christ, because he didn't come the way that they expected him to come. But he came like a lamb in the thicket, just like when Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain, and he knew that God was going to provide a sacrifice. Isaac turned to his father when he was tied up, and they had the fire ready. Abraham had the knife, but where was the perfect lamb? There in the thicket, if you'll have it, just like under the crown of thorns, the perfect lamb was there in the thicket, and they didn't even realize that they were going through with what God had already intended. God had already intended to make that sacrifice. You go back in the Old Testament, you read, and every time that sin happened, every time one of the commandments were broken, every time that somebody was to come before God, they had to make a sacrifice. There always had to be a shedding of blood that they might try and cover up those sins. You think about Adam and Eve. When they broke God's commandment, when they broke his law of not touching the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, when God found them in the cool of the day hiding in the bushes and they realized that they were naked, what did he do? He sent them out and he said the only way that they were going to have everlasting life is if they found the tree of life. But he didn't send them out to still be naked. He said he covered them in animal skins. Where did those animal skins come from, except that there had been a shedding of blood every time, church, that we commit a sin? The only way it'll ever be redeemed or covered up is because of Jesus Christ, that there was a shedding of blood. And people don't understand why we would preach on that. But when Christ was on the cross, and he'd watched all these people, some that had followed him, some that had hated him from the beginning, and they all just stood there and watched as his frail body lied up there on the cross, sweat dripping off, tears probably running down his face because of how much he loved us and how much pain he was bearing for you and I. And all that blood from his head and his hands and his back and his sides and his feet dripping down. And when he finally gave up the ghost, and they thought they had accomplished something, they sent that soldier. They said, "We're not going to break his legs. Pierce his side with the spear." And what came out? Blood and water. Because the water cleans us and redeems us of our sins. And that water, I believe that was just like the Holy Spirit pouring out of him. He told his disciples, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send a Holy Comforter, and that He might send the Spirit of the Lord down to be with us in His physical absence, but that He's still here inside us in His Spirit. King Agrippa went away. You read in chapter 26, there in Acts, him and Festus, and they went away, and they were a little offended. I think it says later on that Paul had that he had not appealed to Caesar. We get offended by everything. We get offended by everything these days, and it's sad. It's sad for our world. It's sad for God's people, because the only thing we should be worried about offending is God. The Bible says if you be ashamed of Him down here, He will be ashamed of us in front of His Father. We can't be ashamed of God. So I want you to think about when you're going out, it's easy to worship Him in these four walls. It's easy to be proud of Him. It's easy to stand up for Him here at Silver City Baptist Church. But when you go out of those doors, when you go Monday morning to whatever walk of life you're in, that's when it's time to be proud of Jesus Christ, not be ashamed, not be afraid of offending to somebody. I was telling one of your preachers earlier that I work in the school system as a teacher. Sometimes it's difficult. We kind of toe a line of what we're allowed to say and what we're not allowed to say. But I'm never afraid to tell any of them that, yes, I'm a preacher. I want to let them know that I've got other responsibilities, that this job is not all that there is, that there's other things that I'm concerned about, and that I kind of tell them that they ought to be concerned about. But people, there are some that will follow and some that will be turned away. They don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear about the blood. I had a cousin years ago, and she was married to a man, and we loved him to death. Everybody loved everybody, but he was very vocal about the fact that he didn't believe in any of this. He said there's no way that there could have been a virgin birth. And he tried to focus on all the things that didn't line up with what he understood logically in this world. You know, sometimes people get hung up on that stuff. But I'm thankful for hope, because it's the evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. That I don't have to put all my hope in things that I haven't seen yet. I don't have to put my hope in just the things that I've seen, but I could put my hope in the things that are yet to come. A few weeks ago at school, and they probably did it in the schools around here for Scythe County too, the Read Across America week. And we try to do a little bit more reading that week with the kids and do more read-alouds and that kind of stuff. And one of the books I read that week is Dr. Seuss's Green Eggs and Ham. And you might think this is silly. This is where the Lord first gave me this thought this morning to come with this. As I was reading that book to them, and I know you know the story. Everybody's read that book probably 1,000 times when you're little. But that little Sam I Am keeps trying to get that other guy to try the green eggs and ham. Try them. He said, will you try them over here? Will you try them over there? Will you try them in a house? Will you try them with a mouse, with a box, or with a fox? And you know all the rhyming things. And he tries to persuade him. And at the very end of the book, he asked him, he said, well, why don't you like them? He said, have you ever tried them? He said, well, no, I ain't tried them. And then when he tries them, he loves it. This gospel, this Jesus that God sent down, you might have your holdbacks of things maybe you're not sure about, that He might have come from a virgin birth, that He came and made the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak, that he died on the cross for my sins and your sins, but that he arose on the third day and sits on the right hand of the Father. Those are things that are hard to maybe accept with your mind, but when you try it and you get it in your heart, I promise you'll never regret it and you'll enjoy it. There's a lot of things in life that we look back on sometimes when we make mistakes and I regret this or that. But the one thing that I'll never regret is that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And when I realized that I needed to be saved, I turned it over to Him. You know, looking at, you see a food, green eggs and ham. No, I ain't going to eat that. Might be molded. Might be bad. Something's different about it. Somebody might come in here and say, I don't want any part of this. This is too different. But if the Spirit's in it, and if you're telling people about the love that Jesus Christ has for them, you keep going on. You keep doing what you're doing, church. God makes each and every one of us different, that we might provide something special to those that we encounter. Each one of us are different. Each of those, each of us that are saved, we've got a different testimony. My relationship with Jesus Christ probably ain't the same as everybody else's. I didn't know if Brother Russell might have ever asked me to preach at Ebenezer or over here. One of the first times I had him come down to Arbor Hill one time during vacation Bible school, and we were doing a Star Wars theme. We walked in the door, and I was afraid. I didn't know what he'd think. We had dark lights and stars everywhere, and I was dressed up like a Jedi. And it was my wife and I. We were in charge of Vacation Bible School for 4 years, and I loved it. And part of me hated giving it up, but part of me knew it was time for us to move on from that. But when we did it, I just wanted to get as involved as I could, and every year just dressed up as crazy as I could. And church, it might seem silly, but to some, but whatever the Lord has impressed upon you, if it's going to help bring some other lost soul to Him, you do it. You do it. Paul, when he went to King Agrippa, he didn't have to share his testimony, but that is what Jesus Christ pressed upon him. Some of the things that Jesus did, people didn't understand why he did what he did, but look at what it started. He got 12 men to follow him, and then he got hundreds and thousands to turn their hearts over to him. And now we live in a world that there's millions of Christians around the world. Look what he did. Look what he's still doing. So I'd ask you this morning, I don't know if there's anybody here lost this morning. I don't know the vast majority of you this morning. This is only the second time I've ever been here. And the last time was just to visit. I don't know you. But if you're lost and you don't know God and you're afraid to try it, try it, and then see what you think. Because it might be scary to think about the blood and what it can do. But I want you to think about all the things that God has done in this Bible. I think about, was it Elijah that had the burnt offering? They threw the water on it. He told the other ones, he said, if your God can light the fire, he said, you do what you do and light the fire. And I know I'm paraphrasing right now. He said, you soak mine with water a couple of times. He said, my God will light it. They thought he was crazy. But which offering got lit up with fire? The one that was lit by the God, the great I am, the one and the only. So just give him a try this morning. Brother Russ, that's all I have this morning.